charge what you are worth.
This isn't about you. This is about the client's hair and the service that they are having done.
I was in a situation that I needed to fill the salon. I hired just to fill it up, really.
When you are desperate for staff and you're like, yes, anybody, fill the space. It's like creating cancer in your salon. It literally is a toxicity that will rot your team. Welcome to a revolution in the hair industry, a space where being banked and beautiful and creating massive global impact is the new standard. I'm Blythe Langford, and in this podcast, I'm going to share with you the exact strategies and insights that helped me transform my three salons into seven-figure businesses in under 12 months. If you're ready to step into your power and grow your wealth and be part of a movement that's changing the game globally, then babe, you're in the right place. So let's get started. Hey guys, welcome to the episode. We have got a reactions video today. My team have put together some things that I have not even seen yet. So we're just going to see my responses. I love doing these ones. And then I watch them back and I'm like, fuck, Blythe, control yourself. I obviously don't. So you're welcome. Sorry. Thank you. Let's go. First one.
Promise, it's not impossible to get clients in your chair. One of the things that helped me build my business the fastest was having a referral program. For every client that sat in my chair, I gave them three cards with their name on the back of it, and I kept track of their notes. And when their friend brought that card back in, I put in the client's note, who referred them, and then that way their friend got 50% off when they came in, and the friend that referred them got 50% off too. So I wouldn't recommend doing 50%. That was a pretty steep discount. Maybe just do 25% off or $50 off or whatever it may be. And if it's $50, maybe it's for color service only.
I 100% agree with this. This is yes, yes, yes. Especially when you've got new team members in, I always make sure that they've got cards with their name on it. And then if they're going to do like a special on there, actually what I would do is I would get professional cards made up with a discount on there. I am not into discounts. I do not believe in discounts at all, except when it is a new staff member. If it is a referral as well, that's the only other time. But referrals are so fucking important. This is how you will grow your business exponentially. This is how new staff members will get busier. It is a fantastic, 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 important, necessary tool for hairdressing.
So again, think of these little things, but having that referral program, everyone loves a deal. And if I can tell my friends about something and get some money off, you better bet I'm going to.
And you're totally like, look at all of those, you know, fitness trainers and gyms where they're like, you know, it's a $20 a week program, but if you get a client in, then you get $5 off that. You know, clients love it. Tony and Guy had an epic referral program, and our clients literally would try and spend more money so that they could get rewards as well. So definitely do a referral program. It will really help in your business.
The truth about the beauty industry is that your clients will become your friends quicker than your friends will become your clients. Your clients will tip you. Your friends will ask you for a discount.
That's so true. I mean, in Australia, we don't get many tips, right? But we do get tips. I mean, when you're the salon owner, you never get the fucking tips, do you? It always goes to your staff, and that's beautiful. And a little part of you is like, give me a fucking tip. No, just kidding. Not.
Your clients will book in advance. Your friends will ask you to squeeze them in last minute. Your clients will share your work. Your friends will pretend that they didn't even see the post. It's.
I don't know about that. I had beautiful friends, and so my friends were fucking amazing. I mean, I think it's different when you're a salon owner, right? Like your friends will come in and they will book an appointment. They're like, thank you so much for seeing me. Thank you so much for your time. When you're a hairdresser, fuck, do you remember what it was like to be a hairdresser and not be a salon owner? Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes, our friends were these fucking assholes because we had no self-worth then. So our friends took complete advantage of us. I remember I used to travel around everywhere to do my friend's hair, but I also thought of it as experience. But far out, I wasted so much of my time doing that. Or did I? It gave me a lot of experience. But yes, I don't know. As I grew as an individual in age, I guess, but also as a salon owner, and I respected myself much more, that's when my friends would respect me a lot more as well. And same with my family. They would all book in and get their hair done at certain moments in time. They wouldn't just like try and do shit last minute. I mean, everybody does every now and again, but nah, my friends and family weren't like that. The more you respect yourself, the more that your friends and family will respect your time and your work too. So I think that comes with a bit of age and time. Or self-worth, whatever.
My name is Shelby. I'm a hairstylist and salon owner of 9 years now. And I've made my fair share of mistakes. But if you ask me, this was definitely one of my biggest. Backtracking a little, our salon had expanded from 4 chairs to 8 chairs to 16 chairs within a matter of 2 months. And I was in a situation that I needed to fill the salon. We had just taken on so much overhead and I was a little scared. So needless to say, I hired just to fill it up, really. I mean, these girls fit the vibe and they were talented stylists. When it came to fitting our culture, that wasn't really what they were looking for. Again, I didn't understand the importance of making sure that your stylists that you were hiring are reflecting the culture that you want to have within your salon. And if you don't have a culture, I definitely suggest you nail one down, not only for yourself, but for your team.
This is essential. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Having a mission, having an ethos, having a culture for your salon is essential. Because if your stylists don't know where they're going, they'll go fucking anywhere. They're like the cows in the paddock next door here. They'll just fucking go anywhere. They don't give a shit. They don't have a fucking path to follow. You as the owner need to create the vision. Have them invested in your vision. It takes time. It's an effort. And first of all, you've got to know where you fucking want people to go. You want to know where you're going. Are you growing a business to go and sell it? Are you growing a business that's a well-oiled machine? Are you growing a blonde salon or a bronze salon? Or are you about men's cuts? Are you about luxury? Are you about quantity over quality? Are you about quality over quantity? Are you a fashion salon? Who the fuck are you, babe? What's your message? What's your ethos? What are you about? Because once you know, it can be really crystal clear of who is meant to work for you, who your clients are. And you can market like nothing else, then you've actually got something tangible that people want to be a part of. Until then, it's murky, mucky, and yucky, and nobody wants to be a part of it. And they will literally just take, staff will literally just take your clients away from you.
Because that one little mistake, honestly, almost burned me out of the industry. 2022 was definitely one of my worst years. And had I been better at hiring what I needed to hire that matched our culture?
Yes. When you hire out of desperation, it never works. Like when you are desperate for staff and you're like, yes, anybody fill the space. It's like creating cancer in your salon. It literally is a toxicity that will rot your team. You need to know who you're hiring, what you need, and why. And when you can become clear on that, not anybody can fill that space. And it's when your team and your staff and your clients respect you because you actually respect your business.
Here's the crazy thing. I don't even do hair. People are like, how in the world have you owned a salon for 21 years and you don't even do hair? I fucking love the hair industry and I love the business and I love the people. The fact that I don't do hair is a huge part of how Click Salon became who it is. That just became a secret sauce because I have 100% of my time to devote to business, education, our team. I don't have to focus on the hair.
This is so true. So I started off to being a stylist. When I was in my 20s, I wanted to know everything. I needed to know everything. I needed to be the one. It was all about me. And then I realized there was all these other people there that were doing not as much as me. And so I shifted it completely. I went on to reception. And I just educated my staff and spoke to the clients here and there and was just transient. I could come and go as I wanted and I could educate how I wanted. And I had the time and space to educate everybody so amazingly. And I created this beautiful culture within my salon where it was all about the staff. And I also then got to interact with every single client when they came in. So if anybody was going to leave, I would know about it and I could guide the clients to the next staff member. So it meant that I got to not work in the business, but work on the business. Now, did I stay as the receptionist forever? Guess what? I didn't. I actually started to love hair again and I started to work. Well, that's when I had multiple salons and I would spend a day in each salon and then a lot of days at home. working from home. And I was able to, because I'd worked off the floor for quite a period of time, create the exact culture that I really wanted. And then that bred the staff to be able to train other staff. And then it just grew and expanded and became this amazing thing. And I had 2 7-figure businesses that were doing fucking amazing. So, babe, you don't need to do everything. You don't need to be on the tools if you don't want to be on the tools. And if you want to be on the tools, fucking be on the tools. But whatever you want, just create it, right?
I do not charge what I want. I'm going to break down the bill of Kirsty's perm of $1,500. She came in on Friday. She came in for a perm consultation. I was booked, but I knew that she flew 2 hours away to have this perm. So I moved everything away to accommodate her appointment so I could do it, because you need to be very experienced when you are perming bleached hair. I had a deposit of $50.
So true.
I had to cut her hair before, which was on the Friday, which is $180. K18 treatment was $65. She took 4 products. She took the pre-shampoo, the shampoo, the conditioner.
Experience,
and the These
confidence.
Are the 4 products she took on Friday, 6:01, and then on Saturday I went in and permed her hair. Her perm was $450.
It's cheap, baby.
She had so much hair, I had to charge her extra product.
Yes, and see how she is even coming from a, like, this is expensive kind of point of view. Like, her bill was fucking epic. And I, like, you know, back in the day, I used to do 2 grand bills without extensions, just talking about a cut and color and some products. But, and if I was doing extensions, yeah, maybe those bills. But she is still thinking that what she's charging is expensive. So she has still got a scarcity mindset, and her wealth mindset is still lacking. She's still got some lack there. She fully hasn't embodied wealth codes. And so this is what I love to teach hairdressers, is actually to, like, break their wealth bullshit story that they've got going on. Because a lot of us, I'm talking 99.99% of hairdressers, literally have an issue with fucking money, with actual abundance. And so what I'm noticing with her is that there is an abundance issue actually there, and she could actually go to a whole new level once she does some deep inner wealth codes work. But I love that she's spending that, like, having a bill like this.
Which was an extra $200. She took the Fabuloso to keep her blue. Her perm can look like a poodle perm. It came to about $1,500. It came, yeah, we so $898. And $602 is $1,500. So no, I do not charge whatever I want. Hairdressers, know who you are, know what you want, know what you deserve. And as hairdressers, don't settle for anything less. The hardest part of your journey is believing in yourself. Charge what you are worth.
100%. If you, like, charge what you're worth, but also just have things in the salon that are a certain amount of money. Like, this is what we charge for this, 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 and this. Because then your staff won't get caught up. They know what needs to be charged because this is the price. And so if you've got everything set up in your computer system that this is the price for a perm, this is a price for a color, this is short hair, long hair, thick hair, thin hair, then it just is like self-explanatory what you charge. It's not necessarily about charging your worth. It's about charging the service, because you are fucking priceless. And if somebody is going to charge you what you're worth, mate, you're fucking priceless. Like, it's what the service is worth, okay? So let's just be really clear. This isn't about you. This is about the client's hair and the service that they are having done. And if you have got cheap, shitty bills, you're doing yourself a disservice and not actually charging the client for the service they've come in for. And what is actually happening is you're devaluing your salon, and that's fucked.
We're hairdressers. Of course we're going to be working a 10-hour day.
We're hairdressers. Of course we're judging you for using supermarket shampoo.
That's true.
We're hairdressers. Of course we'll be your therapist. We're hairdressers. Of course we have all these fancy drink bottles but never drink enough water.
We're hairdressers. Of course we're not going to take our allocated lunch break.
We're hairdressers. Of course our clothes are covered in bleach.
We're hairdressers. Of course we're holding in our pay.
Everything that they said, 100% true. We're holding our pee. We've got the best bladders. We literally do not eat on our lunch breaks, like, because they're just never long enough. We're working too much to serve our clients to be actually having a full fucking lunch break. But also take a lunch break, babe. Yes, we have all these amazing water bottles and don't drink enough water. I always made sure I drank enough water, but I know you don't want to pee too much because you're serving your clients. Babe, you got to drink the water. Drink the motherfucking water. Go to the toilet. It's okay. You're worthy of drinking the water. You're worthy of going to the toilet. Please take some time for your toilet break. Please. Yes, our clothes are always covered in bleach. Yes, but you don't need to throw away those clothes. You know that you can just re-dye your clothes with dye from the fucking supermarket, right? That's what I used to do because you'd have a brand new outfit that you'd spend all this money on and then you fucking fuck it up with bleach. Babe, just dye your clothes. It's all good. It's in the supermarket. You can do it in the dishwasher. I mean, no, you can't. You can do it in the washing machine. It's super simple. I do it all the time. Still, even though I'm not a hairdresser. I love that one. That is so spot on of a hairdresser.
Hey, Tina. Yeah, come here. I'll talk to you real quick. I'm busy, Bailey. What do you need? I wanted to inform you that there's a rumor going around the salon that you're stealing people's hair color and developer and such. People just need to mind their own business. Ew. Okay. I was informing you because I looked in your locker and you do have my color and a few of the other girls' color. You just started here, Bailey. Don't act like you're manager or something. This is none of your business. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it is my business due to the fact that you've taken it upon yourself to steal from me.
Hairdressers are sneaky cunts. Fuck! People lie and steal, don't they? But what do you lose most in your salon? Because I know it's clips. Everybody loses clips. It's like the socks in the fucking laundry. Where do they go? Where do they go? But you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Just buy more fucking clips. You're the salon owner. Buy everybody clips. Just have endless clips. They just disappear. I don't know. They got people's asses when they go to the toilet. I don't know. But clips, we all lose the fucking clips. I mean, in Australia, it's not exactly the same as this because we don't. Oh, it depends what kind of salon you're at. But most of the time, you don't have your own color and all that sort of stuff. That's hard. Like, fuck, us as salon owners, we don't have that. And you know what? Fuck. Fuck. I've even had my family steal off me when they are in the salon, okay? So it happens and it's gross. I had every single one of my siblings work for me when I had salons. So, you know, and they didn't all do it. They did not all do it. But Eden, I saw in your fucking mirror, in your cabinet, in your bathroom, motherfucker, you did not pay for all those fucking products, okay? They were stolen because they were not through the fucking box, mate. Also, you know, I love you, Eden, so much. But one time he accidentally used my credit card in a sex shop on Oxford Street. So shit happens, okay? Did I fire him? No, he worked with me for 9 or 10 years. I love this guy. He's actually my biological brother, not my spiritual woo-woo brother, my biological brother. So shit happens, but yes. I also, to make it easier, I literally said to every single one of my staff members, look, you can bitch about me to each other. I know this is different, but this is like one thing that we had in our salons and it actually really helped. I would always say to my staff, it was in our operations manual that I created, my own one, that you can never bitch about a team member. It is not going to happen in my salon. I have no room or capacity for staff members bitching about each other. You can come and explain an issue with me if you've got the solution that you want and the pathway to get there, but there is no fucking bitching in my salon. But I will be also really honest with you and tell you what I actually did. I said that they could bitch about me with each other because they don't really give a fuck. Like, what I mean by that is I would allow them to bitch about me because they just need to bitch about authority. It's what it is. It's not me. Don't take it personally if your team bitch about you. They just need to express their issues with authority. You know, authority, it's fucking annoying. That's why we all fucking hate it. And that's why we're all rebellious little guys and girls in hairdressing, right? So allow them to bitch about you sometimes or express their issue with you. Just get them off, get it off their chest, but never allow them to bitch about each other. Never allow them to steal off each other. But you know what? At the end of the day, the clips are going to go missing. Who knows where the fuck they are, okay? So guys, salon owners, hairdressers, put in the comments below if you liked these responses. And also, how much they resonate. Oh my gosh, they're just like talking about our lives, right? Literally talking about our lives. But then also let me know what triggers the fuck out of you. Can you admit that you used to be a liar? Because I know that I used to lie back in the day when I was unconscious and I was like taking drugs and drinking alcohol. Little lies come up. Hairdressers have got little white lies, you know, because we're like mystic sages and saints. We're sneaky motherfuckers. But then once you become sober, believe me, you stop lying. So it's just a thing. It's just an unconscious thing that is a trauma response to our past. So anyway, on a tangent, I love you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Let me know if there is any videos that you would like me to respond to. Send them to our team and they will allow me to respond to them first time on camera with you. I love you so much. I can't wait to see and share more with you. Much love, guys. Thank you so much for joining me on Soul Temple. If this episode spoke to your soul, I would love your support with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And don't forget, please subscribe on your favorite platform too. Don't let your journey end here. Connect with me and my like-minded community of beautiful souls at Blythe Langford on all social platforms. I look forward to diving with you deeper on your journey.